You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
Credit the defense, and you could say a lot of things about this UTEP defense, but the offense continues to hold this team back. I mean, in the first game, they score 7 points against Nebraska. In the the loss to Southern Utah, they end up only scoring 24 points at home, and then tonight 10 points on the road against Liberty. Look, I didn't really have a lot of high expectations going into this one, guys. Just the fact that how it happened and how this one all played out, it was a little frustrating. If you're a UTEP fan, if you're covering this team, if you're watching this group here in year one of the Scotty Walden era, no, I don't think the sky is falling down. No, I don't think that they should reevaluate their choice at the head coaching hire. None of that. I'm not that doom and gloom. I'm not there. Not at all. Not even close. But what the UTEP football team is showing you right now is frustration. I mean, it's inconsistencies at times. And for this minor group right now, losing 28-10 against Liberty here on the road for their CUSA opener, not a huge surprise, just a letdown when you consider that the Miners were very much in this game. We're going to open up our phone lines. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600 ESPNElPaso.com. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Hey, with 15 locations, they're open 24/7 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. Check them out and check out our Jack of All Plays, which is coming up later on here on Minor Talk. Welcoming into the program, Zay Galindo and Alberto Reta. Zay, you got a chance to be on the boards for the entire production tonight. A frustrating game when you consider a lot of things for UTEP. And I felt like the defense did take a step forward, Zay, but the red zone opportunities that the offense could not convert on and the turnovers on offense are two things I can't shake off.
Yeah, they leave a bad taste in your mouth, honestly. And, you know, it was one of my biggest things last week was I just felt like the play calling, not even in the red zone, but in and around the red zone, it just got basic or got a little too overcomplicated, right? There was no middle ground where it should be, and we really, really saw that today. One thing that I did take away from Scotty Walden talking to, you know, the voice of the Miners, John Teicher, post-game was, you know, he said that mistakes in the red zone, you know, they're going to be magnified because they're in the red zone, right? People are going to be a little bit more mad because, hey, you're right there. You can punch it in. You're not getting points in the red zone. And it's true, right? We're going to see those offensive, you know, miscues. And when they happen in the red zone, you're going to be like, ugh, like just ugh, 10 times more than if it was at, you know, the 50-yard line. So, you know, the red zone mistakes are something they really need to clean up on, and they're really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I feel like offensively, it's boom or bust with this group so far. I mean, we're going to get into the quarterback conversation, the discussion here in just a little bit. I think fans are split on it right now. Some fans believe that Skylar Locklear has done absolutely all he could do in this offense right here, and the inefficiencies on offense aren't his fault, and that they like him as a quarterback. Other people will point out the fact that he almost had 3 interceptions tonight, and that this offense had multiple turnovers and multiple opportunities where they could, where they had opportunities to score, and they just could not do it, and they could not execute it. So I feel like fans are just split right now, Alberto, as far as the quarterback position goes. Before going into the quarterbacks, just your early reactions to this one right here.
Well, obviously disappointed as everyone else. It was a lot tighter than a lot of us expected it to be. It was a lot tighter than I expected it to be personally. It's not me just trying to get down on the team. It's just I thought that this Liberty team was light years ahead of where this minor team is. And although they hung in there and made it interesting there towards the end, it's just that it's too many miscues on offense. You know, you're not delivering what you promised. That fast tempo offense often works against you on defense, right? You don't let your defensive players rest, and they come out on short rest, and that you can tell it doesn't look good, and it's just a lot to take and getting used to. So it didn't look good. I know a lot of Miner fans were calling for Cade McConnell. I was also at some points and there should have been 3 interceptions in this game, right? We got away with just 2, or the Miners got away with just 2 because they got saved by unnecessary roughness on the quarterback. But They easily could have had three interceptions today. Easily could have had a couple more. A lot of passes into double coverage or overthrown passes or underthrown passes where guys were in stride. You hit them in stride and they go for 30, 40, 50 yards, and I think that's what the most disappointing part was.
There was a lot of disappointing parts from this matchup right here. We'll get to everything here on the program. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. UTEP covered, by the way, guys, 22.5. I think that was the opening week line. I don't know what it closed out as far as this year goes, or I mean, I guess this week goes. But, you know, the one thing, I guess the one silver lining, UTEP did cover in this one right here. But the Miners, 0-3 on the season. They go to Colorado State next week. I've already put that one, as I said last week here on Minor Talk, I put that one in pen as a loss, say. I just don't see them winning that game. Absolutely not. I just don't know if this team has what it takes to go on the road and win any of these games. That's just, as sad as that sounds, that's where I'm at with this group right now.
Yeah, you know, in order for them to pick up any road game, they're going to need to be gutsy. They're going to have to make confident, gutsy play calls. That really falls more on the coaching staff than anything. But, you know, two is they're going to kind of have to be, I'm not going to say perfect, but they got to really clean up these mistakes. You know, they cleaned up the penalties today, which was nice, but they got to clean up these offensive mistakes, and they need to do it quickly if they want to, you know, go out there and compete on the road. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to peel back on that with when you talk about offensive mistakes. Let's just jump into some of the early stats that I'm looking at right here. Number one, here's one of the biggest ones. Before the Miners, or I should say before Liberty, went out and scored on their last drive, I think that was in the fourth quarter, the Miners were actually outgaining the Flames in total offense. I think it was 335 to something like 290 or something like that. But the point is, up until the fourth quarter, Zay, the Miners were very much in this game on paper. The problem was red zone inefficiencies. They were 1-for-2 in the red zone when they went that way. They had a couple drives where they went into Flames territory and it stalled in the Liberty area. So I'll just read you the second half drive chart in the log real quick. Out of the half, an immediate fumble by the Miners. Then they get the ball back off a Liberty fumble. They score on a touchdown, 4-play, 71 yards. That's the Kenny Odom touchdown strike where Liberty defender falls on the play trying to make the tackle. And the Miners are very much in the game there at that point. And it's so interesting because even though it was a 21-10 game or, you know, whatever, or it was a 14-10 performance right there, it felt like the Miners had at least a chance at that point in the third quarter. But then punt. Turnover on downs, and punt is the way UTEP football closed out the game offensively. So you have the big spark, say. You have the thing that sets you over the top. And I think if you're a UTEP optimist, you're going to hold on to those drives and say, wow, UTEP was in the game. They had a great big play. But does that feel more like an anomaly and just kind of like a, you know, a miscue by Liberty's defense than it does an actual substantial thing? I don't know if we're talking about this team stringing together these long drives and then punching it in for a touchdown just yet.
Yeah, you know, the thing I'll say is we're three games into the Scotty Walden era, and each game you've had, I feel like all UTEP fans can attest to this, you've had a moment in the game where you're like, okay, this is going to work out. Like, this is fun. This could really, you know, benefit us in the long term, and we're in this game. And I feel like after that moment, it just comes all crashing down. And I feel like, you know, in the Nebraska game, it's the Cam Thomas touchdown. In the Southern Utah game, it's them going up 17-6. And in this one, it's the Kenny Odom touchdown, right? I feel like right after they have those big time plays where it feels like, hey, they can win this football game, they just make, you know, mental mistakes that need to be fixed, and the game just goes crashing down, not on their side.
And the other side to this is Liberty doesn't look that impressive. I would say that's the other part of this. Liberty is now 3-0 on the season, but I haven't been impressed by any of their wins, and including tonight. I was really not impressed. I mean, Caden Salter did enough in the end. Quinton Cooley out in this game, hurt for the majority of this one. The running back, he got hurt in the first quarter and didn't come back in the game. It wasn't really a problem for them. They found a way to have success on the ground. But still, this Flames team, let's pump the brakes on them. I was calling them a team that could, you know, easily win Conference USA and go undefeated again. Let's pump the brakes just a little bit, especially after we saw him tonight. That was, I think it was Lucas who had 21 attempts, 104 rushing yards, and 3 touchdowns tonight in this performance, eh?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm not a Liberty analyst, so I don't want to speak for Liberty fans or the Liberty team, but, you know, I'm watching this game, and I'm just expecting more from Kane Salter. I'm expecting so much more. He just, you know, on paper, he seems like a guy who should be having a Heisman caliber type season. We're seeing it at Boise State, Ashton Jeanty. You know, he's going for, you know, 10 touchdowns in 2 games. That's what I'm expecting, you know, Kane Salter to do against Conference USA play. And he just hasn't done that. So, yeah, they definitely do not look as impressive. And they might get tripped up, lose their first ever Conference USA game this season.
Ooh, I like it. Let's go back to the phones. 915-505-6009. Brian is first up on our phone lines. Brian, good evening. What's going on?
Yo, what's up, Adrian? I'm frustrated, but I'm doing good.
Okay, give us your thoughts. Give us where you're at as a UTEP fan, Brian.
As a UTEP fan, especially a young one, I am extremely frustrated with this team so far.
Okay, why? Tell me what's the good stuff. Tell me what's the bad stuff in your eyes, Brian.
The good stuff so far today, from what I saw, was definitely one eye was Cam Thomas, in my opinion.
Okay. You like Cam Thomas? All right, what was the negative? Tell me the negative side.
Pretty much everything else, especially kicking and play calling, especially.
Okay.
Especially in the last 2 minutes of the second quarter.
You know, I think that infuriated a lot of fans. I think we have to spend some time talking about late first half play calling. I don't know if you want to call it decision making, guys. And then we got to talk the kicker, too. So Brian brings up 2 great points. I appreciate the phone call, Brian. Thanks for weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009 if you want to follow up that call. Guys, let's do it. I mean, the kicker spot, we saw it, right? What more evidence do you guys need to see? Other than UTEP down 21-10 in this matchup, very much in range, very much not a desperate situation. And UTEP, they'll use, I bet you, they'll use the excuse of momentum is the reason why they went for it at the Liberty 13-yard line. But fourth quarter, almost 11 minutes left in the game, guys. It's plenty of time. Plenty of time to kick a field goal, chip shot, extra point field goal right there, and then get the ball back, have that team go 3 and out, get the ball back, and stuff like that. Where were you at? Were you good with the decision to go for it on fourth down and then turn the ball over on downs, or would you have liked them to kick it right there? And if not, what does that mean of Buzz Fabianose?
For me, honestly, you know, I'd just say I'm a sicko. I wanted them to go for it, whether they had a great kicker or not. But I can definitely see that, you know, how Buzz has played and his performance may have affected that decision, right? I don't think Scotty Walden goes for it if Buzz is on fire. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't want them to go for it. That's just, you know, I think Scotty, if Buzz is making, you know, the simple chip shot field goals, they definitely take that field goal there. They trust in their defense because they were playing well the whole game, for most of the game, not the whole game, but, you know, they're playing well up to that point. And I definitely think, you know, an 8-point game, Scotty definitely would have more than likely elected for the field goal.
Yeah, I would have elected to go for the field goal. It's just something that you're going to have to go back to Buzz Fabiano at some point in the season.
And he made a field goal earlier. I mean, missed one earlier, but he made one earlier.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't want to make it a habit to go for it on fourth downs under the premise that you don't have a kicker, because then at no point in the future can you ever rely on your kicker. You're going to have to go get another one. It's just, if you want to at any point depend on Buzz or say, hey, man, he can make this 30, 35-yard or 40-yarder, we're going to have to start trusting him at some time.
You know, I just don't know where they're at. I can't tell you guys. I think they believe in Buzz Fabiano as their main kicker in this for this season. But at the same time, I had people in my mention saying, well, what about Dallas freshman Aiden Webb? He's a 6'2" freshman kicker. Why not just trot him out there and see what he could do? He had a lot of success at the varsity football level. He was 92 of 98 on point after attempts and 13 of 14. On field goals in 24 varsity football games. So we got a couple mentions saying, well, what about Aiden Webb? Trot out a little Aiden Webb out there. I don't know if we're going to hear much more of his name. Maybe we hear some Evan Scruggs, who's also a freshman out of Bishop Moore High School. Guys, I'm reaching here. Zay, I'm reaching here trying to tell you another kicker on this team right here, but you know, there's not that many kickers. They elected not to get a kicker in the transfer portal process. They wanted to go with Buzz Fabiano, and in this season so far with Buzz Flabiano. He is, you know, he's a redshirt sophomore, so you could say, well, he's got a lot of time under his belt. And it's funny, he was like a five-star kicker out of high school, which is just crazy in itself. He was like a Coles nationally ranked kicker. But for Buzz Flabiano, I mean, I feel like just at this season, just of what we've seen so far, he was one of two tonight. He's one of three on the season so far, Zay. And when it comes to making anything within 30 to 39 yards, 0-for-1. 20 to 29, 0-for-1. 40 to 49, 1-for-1. It's just kind of a weird year for Buzz Flabiano.
It is a weird year. It's inconsistency at its finest. And, you know, you don't know what you have until you lost him, right? Gavin Beckley, fans definitely took him for granted. But I definitely remember, you know, there was some inconsistency before Gavin Beckley's senior year, right?
It's college true. Kickers. It happens.
It's college kickers, right? You have – what do college kickers do? They miss.
They
it
miss
happens
field goals.
All the time.
Yes.
And, hey, if you want to trot out Aiden Webb 6 games into the year and Flabiano is still struggling, do it, you know, by all means. But this inconsistency, you know – It's one in it's like a quarterback. It's like finding a quarterback with kickers, right? It's really hit or miss. So
Alberto, are you in the camp that this week in practice they should have other reps? Like, let's, you know, if you want to keep Flabiano, that's fine, but you got to give the other guys some chances. Where are you at with the kicking position right now?
Yeah, I think that with the way the team's kicking right now, you have to go look at other options. Unfortunately, I think that would negatively affect Flabiano's
mentality.
Oh, well,
of course. I mean, yeah. That tells you today it kind of told you they were not as confident with them. So, of course, yeah, of course it does everything to hurt his confidence right there. But at the same time, they got to find a way to be dependent on a kicking game, a reliable kicking game, and they don't have that right now. As far as the decision goes, I guess I can live with it. I guess you're right. On the other side, if we're saying, hey, they kicked a field goal, would we be saying here on Minor Talk, are they just trying to get points, or, you know, what are they doing right here? So I can understand your argument, Zay, while also thinking that they might not have a lot of confidence in their kicker, their young kicker, Buzz Flabiano, who definitely does, you know, he was rattled after that loss to Southern Utah. Let's not sugarcoat it. It was a tough way to go out in that. It's, yeah, you could chalk it up to college kickers, but at the same time, you're at the Liberty 13 with 11 minutes to go in the game. I don't know. Maybe you take the points right there and trust your defense. Like you said, Zay, they've been playing well up to that point. You get another stop right there. You get the ball back. Or at worst, you allow Liberty to score. You get the ball back. You're able to move the ball down the field. And then you get another score under your belt. I just felt like what happened in those series of events by going turnover on downs, giving the ball back to Liberty, and then watching the Flames go 7 plays, 87 yards, and scoring on a touchdown drive. That was it. That was game.
Yeah, you know, I know you say it's 11 minutes left, but I can't, like, lie. That feeling I had in my stomach when they came to that fourth down, it just felt like do or die. It felt like the game was there. Like, if they didn't get it, there's no way they were stopping Liberty. There's no way they were going to, you know, come down the field with as good as a drive as they had on that one, you know, and do it again while also, you know, trying to come from behind and beat Liberty. So, yeah, it felt like it was do or die. Either you extend the game with the field goal or you go for, I'm not going to say the jugular, but you go for, you know, the gutsy play call on fourth down. And I just like the aggressiveness. I like the aggressiveness there, because what if Flabiano does miss it? And then we're having a whole different conversation, and we're completely blaming, you know, Walden's coaching choice there. So
good point.
I agree with it. I'd still back up going for it on fourth down.
Okay, let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. We still have to talk about the quarterback. We also have to talk a little bit about the first half. Oh, man, guys. I didn't expect the response to be as rabid, I guess I could say, it was after the game. I mean, fans were so upset about the close to the first half, and I think it reminds you of the conservative play calling in the previous regime where you just try to get to the halftime. I just would say, if you're able to steal points right before halftime, why not? The other side to that is, you know, you had a quarterback who almost had 3 interceptions in that first half. Maybe the key was just get to the locker room so you can sit down with your quarterback, make adjustments, and, you know, figure out ways to be more efficient on offense. So let's go through the drive chart real quick for UTEP. They get a field goal out of their first offensive possession, an 8-play, 37-yard drive, which ended up at the Liberty 8-yard line, which, again, inconsistencies right there. They drive all the way to the 8. They're unable to score a touchdown, so they attempt the field goal and they make it. I'm cool with that. No problem. You just get points out of your first drive. Okay, I'm cool with that. Then the next drive, it's the interception. Skylar Locklear throws into double coverage after going 24 yards down the field. That was picked off, and Liberty turned that into a 10-play, 84-yard touchdown drive. Then they end up throwing another interception on the next drive right after that. So it's back-to-back drives with picks from Skylar Locklear. This time around, Liberty punts on that one. It was just a three and out right there for the Flames. Then the Miners get the ball. They drive the ball 51 yards down the field all the way to the Liberty 24. And I think to myself, easy chip shot. Okay, you got it. Easy chip shot. You can make it 7-6. No problem at all. This is good for the Miners right here. Instead, it's a missed field goal attempt right there. Liberty gets the ball, and yeah, they drive all the way down the field, score a touchdown. So those were frustrating ones right there. But the thing that I'm talking about right here is UTEP gets the ball 4:06 at the Liberty 31. They were able to recover a fumble, and they get it at the Liberty 31. Then they were backed up a little bit and turned the ball over on downs. That was a frustrating drive in itself because you felt like the Miners had a chance to maybe make this one really close right before half, and then they get the ball 1:19 left right before halftime, and they elect some conservative play calling just to get into the half right there. So your thoughts there, Zay, on just the end of the first half, which I felt like it drove Miner fans crazy.
I mean, it definitely drove me crazy because you listen to Scotty Walden talk, and he's always saying, you know, we don't play to lose. We play to win every game, play to win, you know, every time we step on that football field. But that whole drive, it just felt like they were playing to not lose by a lot. That's exactly what it felt like. It kind of showed me, you know, what kind of trust Coach Walden, at least at that point in the game, had in his offense and specifically his quarterback. You know, if you're not going to air it out, you're getting the ball back, you know, coming back from the half, so you have a chance to really, really gain some momentum and really like put some pressure on Liberty, and they just didn't do it. They didn't do it, and you know it was frustrating. It was frustrating to watch just because of those two things: one, the lack of trust in your quarterback, and two, you know, it didn't align with what he said. We don't play to lose.
Yeah, and Alberto, I mean, you could even go back to that Minor 4th-and-6 at the Liberty 31 right before they got the ball back to close out the half. They had a chance. They were driving inside Flames territory right there. And again, maybe a little second-guessing, or maybe UTEP just trying to be aggressive. Regardless, it was a pass deflection right there by the Flames defense, and UTEP turned the ball over on downs, their second-to-last drive in the first half.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing. I think what really was frustrating was that it reminded us of Dana Dimmel days, right? It's kind of the same format of not using your timeouts appropriately or using the time appropriately, and that's frustrating to watch, especially when you fans that think you have a chance to make this thing competitive and you don't, right? So that's what is extremely frustrating. I'll kind of just reel off some stats for you guys in the first half. UTEP had 167 yards of total offense. And only 53 of those yards come from the run game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you guys think about the inefficiencies on the ground? Is this going to improve at any point during the season, or is this what we're looking at? Just about, we had just about 70 rush yards in total.
Okay, so UTEP had 30 attempts and 91 rushing yards on the night. And they averaged 3 yards a carry. It's terrible for the Miners. 43 pass attempts to 30 rush attempts. That's where I'm looking at the numbers right there, Zay. If I'm trying to distinguish numbers, I don't really care about production. First thing I'm going to look at is, okay, how many attempts are we talking about on both sides? So 43 pass attempts, 30 rush attempts for the Miners. You could include two more on the pass attempt side, knowing that the Miners had actually, you could include three more, knowing that the Miners had 3 sacks in this game as well. So maybe, say, almost 46 designed pass plays or plays that ended up being pass plays, and you're, you know, completing about 60% of them right there. I thought this offense was supposed to be predicated on high efficiency, so your completion rate is going higher, not trying to go boom or bust, which I think they kind of were trying to do a lot of reaching in this game to try to have those big plays under their belt.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest issue with this offense, and, you know, it goes back to, you know, the offensive line is, I feel like, you know, you watch the Austin Peay tape, that offense is it's humming at its best when the run game is productive, when the run game is getting, you know, 4 to 5 yards per carry. Because you get to go quick. You get the defense off their feet. You keep jamming them, hitting them up the middle. And, you know, you take these little quick knick-knack passes. You tire the defense out. And you can't do that when, one, you're inefficient in your running game, and two, you're inefficient in the short passing game. Because that's what has plagued the UTEP offense so far. And until this run game wakes up, or until this offensive line, you know, has a field day in the trenches, I don't feel like we're going to see the full potential of this UTEP offense.
And when you talk about the wide receivers, which, by the way, 244 through the air for Skylar Locklear in this game, 26 of 43, one touchdown, two interceptions, should have been three if there wasn't a roughing the passer penalty, 60% completion rating for him. So they get 244 of their 335 total yards through the air right there. But all these plays on through the air, it feels like, Zay, are like with wide open space. They've got so much. These receivers have all the space in the world to them, and that's credit to the play calling. But they're picking at zones, and I think that's what they were trying to do against Liberty, just pick out those zones. Skylar Locklear was just throwing out routes the whole game.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely interested to see, you know, the air yards on Locklear's throw. How much of those yards are on, you know, based on the receiver yards after catch, and how much of those are actually, you know, his air yards. And it was nice to see how much they got, you know, their playmakers involved, or at least try to get their playmakers in space.
Yes, I agree. I think that's the one positive you could take away.
Yeah, you know, you definitely saw Cam Thomas get the ball a whole lot, Trey Goodman. A lot of these designed, you know, get our playmakers in space and let them work after the catch. That was great. But other than that, I mean, you're not seeing a lot of these, you know, passes, intermediate passes over the middle. You've seen little to nothing. Outside of that Kenny Odom touchdown, little to nothing this game.
Okay, let's go to Twitter next, and then we're going to talk more about the quarterbacks, and then we'll do some fun stuff here to close things out here on Minor Talk. We expected a shorter, I would say a quieter show here on the program today. I think Minor fans are checked out after this one. We're about an hour away, hour plus from post-game in this one. So anyways, let's keep it going. This is from Adam, our friend at AdamSFNews, who's a great Twitter follow, by the way. UTEP now enters a stretch where I see 8 of 9 winnable games. They have gone drastically better and better each week. I expect them to progress. This game against Liberty was closer than the score shows. We lost to who will be a top 10 ranked Nebraska, and yes, we should have beat Southern Utah, but we're still putting it together. This team is on the cusp of finding their mojo. Picks up. Your thoughts, guys. Give me your thoughts. Go ahead, Alberto.
Yeah, they're taking strides in the right direction, right? But I think that the level of play in Conference USA is going to be suffocating for them. I just haven't seen anything from the Miners that has shown me any resilience, right? Any fight back from them when they face tough moments. I feel like the calls just don't go their way, and the calls that they make, I'm talking about the play calls that they go with, they're just not the right ones. And it's just, I haven't seen anything from the Miners that tells me this is the team that's going to win 8 out of the next blank, right? Or just none of that. It's just
right.
I'm over here trying to tell myself, no, they're not going to go winless this season.
Yeah.
And people are over there on the other side. I think that's really the disparity in Miner fans, is some people have too much hope and some people have no hope.
Okay. I think that's a really good way of explaining it. It's like two different opposite sides of the spectrum right there as far as where this UTEP fan base is at. Let's keep it moving on Twitter next. Pick my axe 915. The final score will be out of hand, but I saw some improvement this week compared to last. It'll take time, but I think Scotty Walden will get it figured out. Just too much inexperience at key positions. Offense clicked, defense improved. From Pinky, as much as we complain, yell, get upset, we stay watching UTEP football till the end. UTEP fan for Vida. That's from Pinky. This is from Jer Barius. After calming down after the Southern Utah loss, I understand that this team is growing. They did good on defense today, but we do need to figure out red zone play calling and our kicker, because damn. And then this is from Gabriel Martinez. Freaking Miners, they had mercy on them there at the end. Hashtag Miner Talk. Go ahead, Zay.
Does like Jamie Chadwell secretly like have a crush on UTEP? I mean, what's up with this mercy? You know, last year was in the Sun Bowl. I felt like they could have dropped like 56. It could have been like 56-28 in the Sun Bowl, right? It's only 42-28. Now you have the knee when you can score. I mean, What's up with this? Does he secretly want to come to UTEP? I mean, hey.
That's hilarious. You know, as far as Chadwell goes, I would say he at the end of the game, he had some pretty funny comments. Let's listen to them, actually, as far as why they kneeled the ball. I think you're saying, like, hey, he's nice and stuff like that. I think he's kind of corny. Here's from Jamie Chadwell from postgame.
On that end, when the game's over and somebody runs it up on me. We're not going to be about that. As much as I wanted to, as much as they were telling me, but that's if we're going to say that we stand for something different here and unique here, then I got to live on that every day. And I'm the one that controls that. And we're going to make sure that we respect our opponents and respect them. And no matter what they did, I mean, God, I don't know why it took time out. It frustrated me and frustrated everybody else. If you'd have heard our coaches during that time frame. But my job is to be the head of this program and represent our university in the way that it wants to be represented. We're going to always, if we have the opportunity to take Navy, we'll take it. No matter what everybody else wants to do, no matter what the bookies want us to do and all that stuff.
Wow. So that's 2 weeks in a row, Zay, where the opposing team's coach calls out UTEP's like coaching staff, or I don't even really know, but this is like a direct shot at Jamie Chadwell throwing a shot at Scotty Walton post game.
Like, I feel like the whole point of that message was like, hey, there is no shade. Like, we want to kneel the ball because we're not like that. We don't run the score up. But I'd rather them just run the score up than throw these little secret comments. Say it with your chest, Jamie.
Yeah.
Say it with your chest.
Say how you really feel. He's like kind of subtweet. You're right. He's saying it without not saying it. He's like, hey, the other side wanted to take a timeout. I don't know why they wanted to take a timeout right there. We were wondering the same thing, Alberto. We were like, why are they doing this? This is the MO for UTEP football. They're going to take timeouts. And they're going to make these, they're going to try to make these plays matter and say, hey, let's make another goal line stop. And then Jamie Chadwell said, no, we're not going to fall into your trap. We're not going to run this in. We're just going to kneel this out. We don't care about closing this out with a touchdown.
Yeah, it's what Miners are down 18 points, and they're calling timeouts. It was horrendous. That really hurt. I really stung, and it was not pretty to watch. And I think that a lot of Miner fans in their houses were thinking, hey, let this one end. What are you doing calling a timeout here? We're down 18 points, not even a two-possession game, and you're calling timeouts like we have a shot. That really did bother me, and it didn't make any sense to me. And, I know it's going to be a long year.
Daniel Carrera, absolutely frustrating way to lose. So many chances and play calling questionable once again. Team looks worse than Dimmel coach teams. David Castro, I know that the defense gave up 28, but they looked vastly improved from last week, especially stopping the run. Doesn't help, though, when your offense squanders good field position and opportunities to score. How is Flabiano on scholarship? Ugh, man. Gosh, you know, I'm laughing there, but it's just, you know, that's a tough one, right? That's a brutal message. By the way, on the ground tonight, Liberty 187. Did you feel like UTEP clamped down in the run game, Zay?
They definitely tried.
4.3 yards per carry. Salter had 9 carries, 24 yards. You could say that they kept him in check. But Billy Lucas, who was the backup, he's not their star. I mean, he's like the senior secondary running back who's going to get carries from them. He ends up going 21 for 104, averages 5 a carry and 3 touchdowns.
You know, I feel like they defended the option really well. We know Liberty, you know, under Jamie Chadwell, they're an option team, right? They're going to run that option a whole lot, and they defended it really well. They didn't really stop these designed runs as much as you'd like, but it was as big as an improvement. I can't even understate this, right? You go from letting Southern Utah run all over you, do whatever they want, to, you know, kind of making Liberty sweat on that, you know, running game a little bit. It was a huge improvement. You definitely saw the effort was there, and it's something to build on. I'll definitely say that.
I love Dorian Hopkins, man. He's my favorite player on this defense for sure. And Corey Chapman. Those two guys, they play really hard. Chapman led the team 11 tackles. He had a sack tonight, which is so cool to see. Safeties get sacks in this defense. Also, Nate Diamond, by the way, big shout out to him. He had a tackle for loss. He had 9 tackles in this matchup right here. It looks like he's emerging as that secondary linebacker alongside Dorian Hopkins. You know, you can credit a forced fumble from earlier to Tavita Tafuna. He was a big one for him. Xavier Smith fell on that one for the fumble recovery. So defense did have some you know, some definitely some spots. And then how about our boy Duhon, who ends up the true freshman, Kyron Duhon, who ends up getting a sack in this one right here, Zay. Actually, it wasn't credited as a sack. It was just a tackle, but it was a really impressive one.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good. He looked good. John kept talking about him on the broadcast, and, you know, if John Teicher's talking about you, you got to be doing something well. So he looked really good, but, I mean, we're going to have to talk about it eventually. Where is West Texas Mo? Where is he? I understand he's getting double teamed.
I wasn't ready to talk about it, but you're asking already. Okay, let's do it. Let's rip the Band-Aid off and let's do it. I wasn't ready to talk about it. I really wasn't. But I want to pull out the game log because I think that's important for Maurice Westmoreland. By the way, let's set the record straight. Maurice Westmoreland at UTEP was UTEP's most NFL prized or NFL sought after guy going into this season. I was having very high hopes for him. By the way, first team All Conference USA, so it's not like he did a lot in order to get that crown right there, and that was 7.5 sacks, very evident as of what he did last year. So last year he plays in every game, he starts every game for the Miners. He totals 37 tackles and 7.5 sacks. He also had three pass deflections last year and was just an absolute monster. This year, three games in, only 5 tackles, only 4 solo tackles, and that's it. 0 sacks, 0 pass deflections, 0 tackles for losses, like I just mentioned. And that's Maurice Westmoreland to start off. He's facing all the double teams, just like you mentioned. No one is allowing him to get back there. And so now it's going to have to be up to guys like Brighton Thompson, who you heard his name being called a lot today, because the offensive lines are not focusing on him. They're focusing on Maurice Westmoreland and trying to shut him down. He had two opportunities today, though, Zay. Two opportunities, and he didn't seize them.
Yeah, I definitely look back to one of these plays where he got a pressure on you know, Caden Salter.
And they didn't even call it, but yes, he did.
And Salter just made him touch grass. I mean, he put the moves on him twice. I think it was twice. And I was just like, damn. Like, it just feels like in this defense, he doesn't have, I don't want to say that freedom that he did. I feel like he was just everywhere on the field. They put him at different positions, you know, last year. He was in different positions to make different types of plays on that defense. And this year, he doesn't feel like that. And I feel like he'll get going somehow, some way. He's a dog, and I feel like he's going to get going somehow throughout this year. I just don't know when or how.
I don't know. Any other thoughts there for Westmoreland? Alberto, you mentioned him earlier.
Yeah, it's just it's difficult when you're facing the double team like that. It'll be interesting to see if he picks it up in the second half and in the second, what's left of the season.
Yeah, let's see. 915-505-6009. Back to the phones we go. It is Memo who's calling back, second week in a row for Memo, our pal. Memo, what's happening, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, boys? First of all, I just want to call in and say it was better than I expected.
Okay.
Adrian, I heard the podcast earlier, and you had no expectations. And I know Vegas was 23.5, 24.5.
Did you win?
You know what? They probably could have. They as in Liberty could have covered if they didn't take the kneel at the 1-2 yard line. I know that the Scotty timeout. While they took the timeout, it was a little difficult. I also agree with that. But hey, I just want to say, I think we're there. I think we're almost there. I don't think we're there just yet, but I feel like this team made a huge improvement from last week. I think Liberty, we saw the number 20 offense against the number 127 rushing defense. So they're there. And I just want to hear you guys' thoughts about that.
Okay.
And then second of all, the second quarter call. With a minute 30, a minute 20 left, with one timeout, we get the ball back, and we just run the ball, and we just wait till halftime.
You were not happy about that one, huh?
I was not happy about that one at all. I felt like that was a giving up call. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. So I want to hear. I don't know if you guys talked about it earlier.
Let's talk about
the show, but I mean, come on, like. We have to play to the whistle, man. I mean, if we have a minute and 20 and one timeout and we're there, I know it's a long field, but we have to go for it.
Let me ask you this. When's UTEP winning their first game? Is it next week on the road at Colorado? Is it 2 weeks from now against Sam Houston on a Thursday? Do you think it's further than that? When do you think UTEP gets their first win of the season?
Hey, I asked you guys at the podcast, I was like, is Kennesaw State the only reality of a win that we have? I still believe that. I think Kennesaw State, that's all we have.
Okay. We got you down for Kennesaw State as the only one UTEP has on the season. It's interesting, guys, because people are on both sides, and I'll answer some of those questions Memo had. First off, you know, as far as the close of the first half, we did talk about it a little bit here, Memo, but we'll just say it again. Just disappointing how they – I wanted more aggressiveness from UTEP. I would rather them go with more – hey, if they were pass-heavy in the second half and that's what they leaned on as their bread and butter, why not continue the pass? Why not continue to be aggressive and just be out there to try to do something like that? So good stuff right there. I like it, Memo. I appreciate your phone call. Are they close, guys? Are they almost there? I don't know. I feel like I reflect back to the 2018-2019 seasons where I just felt like the roster wasn't there. I just wasn't bought in on the rosters those two seasons, and I kind of feel the same way this time around. I know it's early. We're only three games in. Maybe the roster improves. They have a lot of young pieces, which is your upside, but my worry is that this is going to get too late in the season where they start to figure things out a little bit, and by that time other teams have already caught on. They're already, you know, further along. And what is UTEP trying to play for by the end of the season? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, Scotty Walden talked about it post game. He kept saying this is like the one thing, I guess a couple things resonated with me, but for me it was like they're almost there. Like they're it's gonna happen, right? He keeps saying keep working, stick to the plan, trust the process, like eventually we're going to have this breakout. Like, we're going to break the mind, I guess. That's kind of what he's saying. And he preached that to the team post-game, that keep working. Like, we're almost there. The breakout is coming. And I got to kind of agree. I'm not going to say that it's going to be a huge breakout and UTEP's going to win out their next, you know, seven games. No. I feel like, you know, eventually there's going to come a game where they kind of put it all together little by little. And I you know, you have some people saying, hey, 1-11, 0-12. And then you have other people saying 9-8, or they're winning the next nine games, right? I'm right in the middle. I think they go maybe three wins, four wins if they're lucky, or, you know, maybe only two wins if things don't go to plan.
Okay. I like it. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Thank you, Memo, for giving us a call. And I appreciate you tuning in and also listening to us on the podcast as well. Clearwater checks in. Classy move by Liberty, taking a knee at the end. USA at Minor Joe, still waiting on the fast-paced, high-octane offense. Bad move inserting Shea Smith at quarterback, and horrible call not kicking the field goal late in the game. Okay, let's talk the Shea Smith story, because we already talked the field goal, and about whether you guys, Zay, you were okay with them going for it on fourth down. Alberto, you said kick the damn field goal, get the points, and, you know, have your offense get back out there on the field once your defense holds Liberty. But, let's talk about the Shea Smith thing. And now we're almost there, guys. We talked about it pre-season podcast. Over under 2.5 appearances for Shea Smith. And it looks like he's going to smash the over. He's already appeared in two games on the season for UTEP, albeit in Wildcat format. And today, Zay, it's a snap. It's a fumble on the mishap. And Liberty jumps on it. Tough break there for Franklin's finest, Shea Smith.
Yeah, it just feels gimmicky. This Wildcat formation with Shea that's made for him, it just feels gimmicky. If you want to play Shea, play Shea. If you don't want to play Shea, then don't play Shea. Don't give him one play a game where you set him up for failure and, you know, his confidence goes down. It just feels so gimmicky. I just don't like it at all.
Did you think Cade was going to play today, Zay?
I didn't think he was going to play, but I do think he should have played.
Okay, that's a fair assessment. What do you think there, Alberto, if you had to chime in on that thought?
Yeah, same thing. He should have played. He didn't. To me, personally, obviously, it's really ridiculous that the fact that you had such a quote unquote close quarterback battle, and now the only one getting reps is Shea Smith, and that's sad. And
And I know it's a lot of personal feelings involved, but it doesn't seem fair to me, and it doesn't seem fair to the fans either, especially when you're losing games.
Yeah, and you almost had a quarterback who had three picks in the first half, and there was never going to be a quarterback change in just my eyes. I think people wanted it. I think fans were hoping, some of them were hoping for it. Some of them were just like, oh, just play him, or hey, he's got some moxie because he shakes off those three picks or those three interceptions, and he's still slinging it. He's still a gunslinger out there, which both things can be true. I think both things, you could bench Skyler for a little bit, go with the backup quarterback without having to worry about losing a lot of confidence with your young buck and Skyler Locklear. I think they're maybe a little concerned with that. They're concerned with just the perception of what it means to throw Cade into the mix and then making this more of a distraction than it is a battle. But you're right, I mean, Alberto, if you're going to have a quote-unquote competition in a battle all offseason long, isn't that what this is for? Like, you know, he said that Scotty Walden said he was in to judge his quarterback on scoring points, on finishing drives, on being a leader. And, you know, so far, I think Locklear has done a great job of leading this team. I mean, really, he has. He has that swagger. He has that calm confidence, quiet confidence that he has. But as far as the turnovers in the first half, for me, I think that was inescapable right there. I think that UTEP put themselves in a hole. And if they didn't have those turnovers, what could this game have actually become? I get it. You're going to have turnovers. You're going to have mishaps with younger quarterbacks. But is this season just a project? Like, oh, well, let's just, you know, let's have this redshirt quarterback out there, and he's going to learn, and next year he's going to be the guy, and, you know, that kind of stuff. Is that what this is?
Yeah, the more that this season progresses, the more it becomes more apparent to me that maybe there was never really that deep of a quarterback battle, right? Maybe it was never that close.
As sad as that sounds.
It's depressing to like realize, but maybe it was just all a smokescreen. Because if it was that tight, if it was, you know, so tight that you're not announcing a starter until, you know, 2 days before the game, then why isn't Cade playing? Why has Cade only seen one series this whole year? Got one meaningful series,
yeah,
where he's put into a bad situation. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me, because if it was that close, we would have saw Cade in the Southern Utah game. We would have saw Cade more in the Nebraska game, and we haven't. And I understand that if they're going to stick with Skyler, then stick with Skyler, right? Don't take him out after those two interceptions, rattle his confidence. You know, if you're going to stick with him, stick with him. But there should have never been this big fiasco with the starting quarterback in the first place.
Yeah, I think that what you do right there is you also make other people, because if you looked at the body language by some of those receivers in that third or even second interception, wasn't good, guys. They're starting to look over to the sideline wondering what's going on. Like, that, and when that happens, that's not a good thing. Now, I'm sure if you talk to everybody post game, everybody's like, wow, you know, you love his resilience. You love the fact that Skyler Locklear bounced back despite the turnovers, which he did. I mean, that Kenny Odom throw was right on the money. And Odom benefited off the Liberty player missing a tackle, and he dashed there for 60 yards for a touchdown. So credit to Odom for being out there and being active. And then also at the same time, credit for Skyler Locklear to have that you know, short-term memory. Back to the phones. We got a pair of calls to get to. Milkman is next. Milkman, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So this one was hard to pay attention to, because I also had my granddaughter's 2-year birthday party.
Oh, that's awesome,
thank
man!
God for, yeah. So, but thank God for ESPN on the phone, because, you know, even while I had to go pick up ice and all this other stuff, I was able to kind of pay attention to it, so that was good. And my dad got to watch it with me, sitting at the table,
okay,
you know, on our
good
phone
stuff. Okay,
so that was good,
make it
you
work.
Know. But you know, I think a couple of you hit it when I heard a little while ago. I think we have to judge this game without thinking about last week, because last week, like, there was no excuse for it. It's left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Now, if you were to take that out of your mind and not think about that, you'd probably be a little bit, you know, better with the outcome today, because they didn't get embarrassed. You know, it didn't turn out the way we thought it might turn out at the beginning of the season. But that game last week was just such a momentum killer, you know, especially for the program. But I also want to back you guys up. I don't understand what the point of a quarterback battle is if you're really only, like, you know, he's swearing up and down that they're both so similar. well, how come we're only seeing one guy? You know, and again, if he's winning, I mean, you know, there's no, you really don't have an argument. But we're not winning. We're 0-3. So we may need to change something up. But, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I just think that when you're talking about the quarterback competition or when you're talking about what are they doing in the future, I don't think they're flipping. Milkman, I think that it's more, and I'd have no clue. You know us. We would tell you if we had the insight to Cade McConnell and what his thoughts are. I have no clue on what that looks like right there. But if I had to make a crystal ball guess, my thought would be is Skyler will be their guy until – you know, he's not their guy, and that would only be an unfortunate injury, which no one is wishing on any of these players. But I think he's their guy no matter what. He's their QB1. And I think if this season goes south, they're more likely to look to Shea Smith as maybe, hey, let's see what we have in him versus let's see what we have in Cade McConnell. Does that make sense, Milkman?
Well, I guess if you're you know, strictly thinking about the future, but I mean, if it gets to the point where we're like, God, can we just win a game? I mean, I would hope that he'd put in Cade McConnell. But, I mean, you know, you make a very valid point that, you know, if you're trying to build a program and looking towards the future, you know, maybe you're going with your quarterback of the future. It's hard to say. It's a tough call. Right now, everything looks bleak, you know. But like I said, we kind of have to cleanse the palate of that last week's game because – they didn't get embarrassed tonight, and, you know, I mean, a lot of us, after watching them last week, thought they were going to get trounced this week. Okay. They didn't, you know, they did better than, you know, maybe a lot of people thought. And hopefully, last week I thought they wouldn't win another game all year. This week, you know, it could happen, you know. That's all I'm saying.
Could get a little lucky. I like it, Milkman. Appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. As always, I'm glad you got to sneak the game, you know, and also be a great grandfather. So good stuff there, Milkman. I appreciate it. Hey, let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Interesting topics here on Minor Talk, and we've got a couple more topics to hit on as well, and then we'll put a bow on it and preview Colorado State. By the way, we're brought to you by Jack in the Box. Hey, they've got 15 locations, El Paso and Las Cruces. They're open 24/7. So when we're on here on Minor Talk, whether it's in the morning, the afternoon, after Minor Talk, whatever it might be, Jack in the Box is the place to go in El Paso and Las Cruces as we keep things moving. Next up, we've got UTEP Mineto. Wow, back-to-back weeks of Milkman, back-to-back weeks of UTEP Mineto, who is joining us next on the phone lines. Mineto, what's happening, my friend?
How you doing, Mr. Adrian and everyone there at Minor Talk?
We're all doing great. It's great to hear from you, man.
Oh, likewise. I just want to go ahead and add, I don't know if y'all saw my tweets at the beginning of the year. You know, I knew this was another Kyle Loxley Mets situation. You know.
Okay, our listeners who aren't as loyal fans as you are, can you explain a little Kyle Loxley, Ryan Mets? What's the easiest way you'd explain this one right here?
So the easiest way is new administration or new coaches bring in their player. They try to make it exciting and say, hey, well, the local boy or the local player is in competition, when in reality it's not really competition. It's just a formal way of, you know, putting him out of the picture. So in this case, well, Loxley got hurt and Mets got to play. But as I said, I had been tweeting it. Nobody really likes me anymore because – you know, you say the truth and it makes the young fans upset. So I was saying, hey, why is Walden trying to make everyone happy? You know, he probably told Shea Smith something. He probably told, you know, Locklear another thing. And then McConnell, you know, we're just repeating of what the last football administration did. And I said, you know what, just stick to your guns. And we all know you're going to choose Locklear, which is his player. Another thing, bringing in 40 players and getting rid of the other players tells you where the coach, you know, he wants to build his program. Unfortunately, we need size. I've been saying it. Did talk to Adrian a while back. I don't know if you remember. I sent you a message stating that, yeah, we have speed, but we have no size.
Yes.
You know, so unfortunately, what's going to happen is, you know, since this is a new hire, a new coach, kind of give them year one. Unfortunately, what I'm looking at now is that there might be injuries coming for the defense since they're out there banging their bodies for a long time. The offense, obviously I did tweet again today that he needs to run stuff that no one has scouted his Austin Peay style, because everybody's eating up everything he's doing or he has done. But, you guys at Mounted Talk are great. Appreciate for you guys giving the fans an opportunity to vent, because some people probably would have committed suicide already.
Ugh, no, don't say that, man. Yeah, but I hear
sorry
you.
Sorry about that.
No, I hear you, though, completely. Hey, I appreciate you, Minetto. Thank you for weighing in. Thanks for telling it like it is. You're a real fan, and you're entitled to all your opinions. And you're entitled to all your Twitter comments and all that stuff, too. So I hear you, Minetto, and we see where you're coming from on all this. But and I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for the support, and thanks for weighing in on the program. I think when it comes to Skylar Locklear and just being brought into this program, well, of course. I mean, they're going to sell him on El Paso. They're having to move him basically out of there in that Lynchburg, Virginia area. He's, like, not too far away, or his family isn't too far away from that North Carolina, area. And I would say that to travel all the way to El Paso or move all the way to El Paso, you'd have to have some assurance right there. Let's be honest. Like, let's see it from the Skylar Locklear point of view. You're going to go from Austin Peay, where you're not going to go and you're not going to necessarily play there, and you're going to go cross country and be sold on a school where no one knows about it really in your area and stuff like that, and hasn't been historically good at all, and you're going to follow your coach from Austin Peay over to UTEP. Well, of course you're going to want some assurance. And I think if he asked for that kind of assurance, or if he was promised that kind of assurance, I don't blame the coaching staff. I don't blame him.
And I'll look at it the other way, right? I'll play, I guess, the devil's advocate. If I'm Skylar Locklear, I'm a backup on an FCS school, and now I have an opportunity to go compete for a starting job at an FBS school, right? I'm taking that opportunity no matter what, whether I was told, anything. To make that jump from a backup FCS to, an open FBS quarterback room, I'll make that jump 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you on that one completely. Herman Flores checking in on the program. Defense did their job for as long as they could. The offensive genius, Walden, didn't. McConnell has to start the next game. Experiment with the short quarterback should be over. He can't see over the offensive line. His passes are batted, and they're interceptions. Herman Flores continues saying, it's more like UTEP is embarrassing. Liberty felt sorry for us. McConnell should start the next game. That's coming in from Herman Flores. Austin Barna checks in on the program. I thought the defense was much improved and played good enough ball to have them win. The offense, on the other hand, has a long way to go. Protection wasn't great, and Locklear struggled to read the defense and get the ball out quickly. Interesting points right there. 915-505-6009. Let's do this, guys. Let's take a break here on the program. We'll use the legal ID in this break, Alberto, and then when we come back, we'll give more storylines. Still a lot of Twitter comments to mention as well. Other thoughts, other posts coming in here on the program. If you've got some thoughts, send it our way, 600 ESPN El Paso. You can still give us a call, 915-505-6009. We're presented by Jack in the Box, by the way. Hey, we're going to talk about our Jack of All Plays here later on in the program. You can nominate your favorite play from the game. We'll pick a winner, and that's coming up here on the program, thanks to Jack in the Box, the perfect spot before and after every game. We'll continue here with more in a moment. Minor Talk continues right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Minor Talk is back, along with Alberto Retta and Segalindo. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're continuing here on a busy Saturday evening. Appreciate everybody tuning in on the program, listening to us on our podcast channel as well, or also, catching the entire UTEP broadcast, joining us out at the District West. It was a lot of fun out there. We'll be back next week for another Minor Talk watch party out at the District West. That's 3233 North Mesa. And then also want to give a big shout out to our presenting sponsor here on the program, Jack in the Box. By the way, Jack in the Box Bucks. That's where I'm going to be heading after this one. It was a long day, but they've got 15 locations. Don't worry, Zay. They got 15 locations across town. And Alberta, that are open 24/7, 365. You've done a couple overnights here and there. You know, Jack in the Box is the one spot that's open. There you go.
Yeah, Jack in the Box is my favorite. They have breakfast all day.
That's
and they're
what I
open
love.
All day. So I like to get out of here maybe at 2 or 3 in the morning when it's really dead. And I go out there, get some breakfast. It's made fresh. None of that other stuff that you got to deal with. So you get a great meal at Jack in the Box. You get breakfast whenever you want it. It's open at all times. It's not like any other El Paso establishment that closes at 9 p.m. So it's open all night. It's got great burgers, even better breakfast. So I find myself there constantly at Jack in the Box. It is my one of my favorite places to be.
You know, Sebastian Perez Navarro, shout out to him. He texted me a picture yesterday. He was at Jack in the Box after Football Friday night. So good stuff by Sebastian, too. So we're all big fans of Jack in the Box here on the program. More from Twitter and X here as Minor Talk continues. Liberty defeats UTEP 28-10. You want to talk about it, 915-505-6009. We have time to take your phone calls here. Little Badger. The offense seemed to only get on the roll when the ball is snapped at 15 to 20 seconds. When they sit and read the defense, it always stops them. Notice how last week, too, against Southern Utah, thoughts, hashtag Minor Talk. Guys, we you know, a lot of UTEP people here, fans, media, the community, they were all promised 12 seconds, fast offense, Zay. In fact, they're not snapping at the 12 seconds that they promised, not at all.
They're not. Maybe we can go back, have a 12-second a watcher. Maybe we need to, you know, designate someone to count the time. But it's 12 seconds when it works. You know, it's only 12 seconds when it works. When it's not working, who knows how long it'll be, right? Who knows if they're going to have to call a timeout because the play clock is already at one, right? It's 12 seconds only when they want to do 12 seconds.
There you go. More. Pooh Bear checks into the program at Devious. I don't feel as dejected as last week. I honestly thought Liberty would steamroll us. I saw quite a few positives. Always a minor. Hashtag picks up. This is coming in from Leo. I was expecting a whole lot from this year, but I also was expecting better than what we've seen so far. I'm not mad or disappointed, but it can be frustrating to watch. I want to see improvement as the year goes on. Defense had life tonight. Offense had few big plays and missed again. I think this is one of the best points we've received so far. I wasn't expecting a whole lot from this year, but I was expecting better than what we've seen so far. I think that's a great statement right there. It's a simple one by Leo, but I think fans, they didn't expect too much this year from this UTEP group. You might not even quantify the win total on what you think for this year. However, I would say for this UTEP team right here and what we're saying with this group right here, I think people did expect a little bit better than what they've seen so far. And I think the thing that UTEP fans always hold is promises. You know, when somebody goes out there and promises certain things, well, they expect that promise to be upheld. And that's just one of those things. You know, I think fans feel, okay, well, if they're not snapping it every 12 seconds, if they're not going to do stuff like this. I mean, Zay, I'll ask you, what were some of the keynotes, highlights from the post-game interview with Scotty Walden from this one right here? Because I'm curious to see how he assessed the offense compared to the defense. I thought the defense was the spot where I was impressed by. I did see things that, you know what, I was impressed by in a good way. But offensively, Zay, that's where I was like kind of stumped. And I was wondering, what did Walden say in the postgame to Voice of the Miners' John Teicher to kind of give his offense a little bit of, I don't know, like confidence or boost or whatever?
Man, I feel like the protege, man. I mean, Sal, last time I saw him come in with notes from the post game, and I was like, you know what? If I'm ever put in Sal's position, I know what I'm doing. I'm taking notes. So I just put out my notebook. I've been waiting. And, you know, he just talked about – he was really positive. There was not a lot of negatives that he talked about that he took away from this game. He said there's a lot of good takeaways. He said that, you know, they've gotten better every week, and that's been the goal, is get better every week. The team is performing a lot better. And trust the process, that the breakthrough is coming. He didn't go into specifics about the offense, this, that, and the third. You know, he talked about the Locklear interception. He said, you know, the first interception, it's his fault. It was a bad read. The second interception, it was a good read. It was just a bad ball. So, you know, there wasn't anything too negative that he said. Nothing incredibly positive. But the biggest thing that he talked about is, hey, we're getting better every game. We're executing better every game. And eventually, there's going to be a breakthrough. He keeps talking about, hey, I know I'm judged on wins and losses, but what I'm taking away from these games are the way we're executing, the way that we're just getting better every game. And, you know, he could sell somebody. He could sell a lot of fans right back into, you know, what he wants, you know, whatever. He knows how to talk to fans, talk to media. He knows how to, I guess, give people hope, right? Because listening to that, it gave me hope, right? I'm thinking, hey, maybe the breakthrough is coming. I'm seeing what he's saying, and it makes sense. It does.
Okay, I like it. I like the fact that you took some notes and you broke it all down, and I like the fact that you were sold on this too. So, and you know what, man? I'm going to say this. As much as this season feels already off to a nightmarish start, which that's what I called it last week, and it carries over into this week by default. I mean, Milkman was saying, I wish you could just write off last week, or Memo was even saying that, just forget about Southern Utah. You don't feel as bad as you did last week. Well, of course not. UTEP lost to an FCS opponent, guys. Today they challenged the best team in Conference USA, and they had a, you know, they were only down two scores with plenty of time left in this matchup. They were only really down, they could have been down only one score with about 12 minutes left had they changed the decision as well. So, I mean, for this team right here, yeah, you feel a lot better after this game. But at the same time, the issues, the errors, and all of that kind of stuff still hold me back on being in on, you know, talking about things like what we said earlier from Adam. Adam was saying 8 out of 9 winnable games on the rest of the season. I'm like, come on, man. Are we serious right here? What are you talking about? Alex at Alex Golez 9900 posts into the program. UTEP hired a guy who would not have been hired by any other FBS program. What did they expect? He could have a future, but he's going to have to prove it. They'll give him time, but it's not going to be pretty. Quinn at Quinn Dows 98. I think we as fans were unrealistic with our expectations. Should we have really believed an FCS coach with FCS starters to upset an FBS team? No, I don't think so. But I think after some point and after some time, Walden will be an excellent coach, especially with comparable talent. This is in from Leo underscore minor fans. My prediction was 4 or 5 wins, and that was a bit much. I think Sam Houston and FIU are better than what people think, and UTEP might only have 1 win or 2 wins this year. But if the Miners can improve a little more every week, maybe they can win 3 or 4 games. We'll see. Quinn checks back in and says this one. My guess is that at the back half of the year will be where we see what this team could truly be. We have to remember Walden was hired a bit late and only had a spring to prep the team and recruit where everyone else had a whole year. What do you think about that excuse right there? I don't like that one. Both of you guys are shaking your head. You go in first, Alberto. You give your thoughts.
Yeah, you can't really judge him by that bookmark because he brought in all these players that he had been familiar with. You know, Skylar Locklear has spent a lot of time with Scotty Walden. This isn't new to him. None of this is new to him. So all those players that came over from Austin Peay, they should have the system well under control. They should know which way to go, which way is what, and what's where. So that's why it's no. This isn't necessarily an entirely new team. A lot of these guys have played together.
Here's where I find this one to not be true whatsoever. And I think you can attest to this one too, Zay. I can tell. I feel comfortable saying this one right now. But they had conversations with players on the previous roster who they just said, there's no spot for you now. There's no place for you on this team anymore. We've got to fill other scholarships. We got to prioritize our scholarships elsewhere. And that they had conversations with players who are no longer on this team. And as a result of that, they're living with this roster right here. You're going to have to live with it. Or, as UTEP's seeing so far, struggle with it. And, you know, it will be those growing pains and those learning pains here early on into the season. Mr. Vatican into the program right here. UTEP will never have a good football program. They can't recruit best players. Who would want to play at UTEP? Ugh, man, that's a tough one right there. Esau Hermosillo. Why did Scotty quit at the end of the first half? To save Locklear from the potential fourth interception? He had 3. He was saved by that bogus call in our favor. You've got nothing to lose. Plenty of time on the clock. Why quit? Wow. Robert Novato. I am mad as hell, and I am frustrated. This is coming in from Pinky. This is coming in from CN Lara. A quarterback change needs to be done. This 0-3 start has made the season feel like a waste. Even though I knew that this year wasn't supposed to be a great one, it feels disappointing. That's interesting, as far as just kind of associating the two with each other. We'll read a couple more posts coming in on the program, but we can get back to the phones, 915-505-6009. We're also at 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and then 600ESPNElPaso.com, where you can check out some coverage of this one, and then leading up to the Colorado State game here as well. Let's talk other storylines in this game, and then we're going to get out to some of the other posts that are coming in. We see Esteban checking in, Callaway checking in as well, so we'll get to those posts here in just a little bit. I want to get to this one, or a couple other side storylines, guys. Javon Jackson emerging through the offense for the first time really in the entire season. Javon Jackson finished up at the running back position in this game. 15 carries, 67 yards, averaged 4.5 yards per carry. Is this what you kind of wanted to see there, Zay?
Well, no, that's not what I want to see. I would never want to see 15. What was it? 15 carries for 67? 67. It's okay, right? It's not great, but you definitely saw the glimpses. You saw the glimpses when those holes open up. Like, he's a tough guy to bring down. He's pretty elusive. He's pretty quick with it. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't put any of that blame on Javon Jackson. I really like, I'm almost like little to none are on him, and it's on the offensive line, because the amount of times that Liberty just got penetration so quickly on run plays was insane. I mean, it was like this. You already had three Liberty defenders in the backfield before Javon Jackson even got the ball. I mean, what are you supposed to do at that point?
Alberto, let me ask you, what do you think about that offensive line?
Yeah, it leaves a lot to desire, and you know, you had guys that left that offensive line. You know, you were talking about a lot of guys that were, you know, politely asked or told that there was going to be no spot for them. You really start to wonder if maybe there was a couple guys in there that were offensive linemen that could really help this team. You never know, right? But it's disappointing. It's not to the standard that it needs to be in Conference USA, and we're seeing it suffer. Obviously, I want Javon Jackson to hold up as much as he can, because, you know, with the amount of hits he's taken, you have to ask yourself, how long is this going to be sustainable? If he's getting hit, you know, he had, what, 15 carries a day. How long can he sustain a prolonged effort where his offensive line isn't what it should be?
Yeah, and if he's just getting clobbered in the backfield and not having any opportunities, you wonder, does he even get opportunities moving forward? Okay, let's just reel off skill position players. Zay, you give us your thoughts, your instant reaction to this player and their performance tonight. Alberto, chime in when you want to. Let's start off, Jaden Smith. 7 catches, 42 receiving yards in this one. He had a long of 17 yards, and he had a catch percentage of 64 in this game.
More targets. Get him more targets.
Okay, Cam Thomas, 8 catches, 68 yards, 11 targets in this one, caught 73% of his passes.
Yeah, no doubt in my mind who the best player on the offense is.
Okay, Trey Goodman, 6 catches, 54 yards.
He's going to get better. I feel like Trey Goodman down the stretch of this season, we're going to look at him as wide receiver 1.
Okay, Kenny Odom, 2 catches, 64 yards, including the 60-yard touchdown.
Need for speed, 99 speed, 99 acceleration on that one.
Amari White making an appearance, 1 catch, 6 yards.
Free Amari White. Like, free Amari White. Like, seriously, free Amari White. And I'm going to say it, like, free some of these demo players, because they're just stuffed on the bench. Where's Amir Boyd Matthews? Like, take him out for Josiah Allen. I know Josiah Allen is a demo player, but oh my goodness, like, where's Amir Boyd Matthews?
Okay, I need to ask you one other player, Judah Zenwa, who played.
Free Judah Zenwa, man. I mean, free a lot of these guys. I feel like they're in the short end of the stick.
Yeah, you're seeing slowly, the newer roster, the newcomers, period, phase some of the old guys out. Like, the other guys are just not playing, not really thinking, or not really thought of right now here in this new regime. And that's just, that happens, you know, at some level. It's these guys where if you're a coach and you have a guy and you you want to stick with your guy, you're just going to go with that guy that you recruited over a guy you didn't. And that's just kind of how it is. Back to Twitter next. Poncho, I'll try to keep it positive with UTEP football. The defense, good game. Kept it close. Locklear, settling in. Needs to complete more passes and convert more third downs. Flabiano needs to spend more time after kicking or after practice kicking the ball. If we're lucky, three wins in 2024. Snappy trades. I had high expectations to start the year. I'm going to simmer down on that. I'll enjoy the season more. At this point, just going to continue to improve week by week. Defense did better today, though Liberty has struggled 3 weeks in a row. Let's see what happens in these next few games. And that's coming in from Snappy Trades. Appreciate you, Snappy. Thanks for chiming in on the program. 915-505-6009. This is from Esteban. Postgame, Teicher made a point to emphasize the Miners scored first in two of the first three games. Who gives a bleep of this meaningless stat? Oh my gosh. Esteban posted that one three different times. He really wanted us to mention that one. And then Augustine with a rare tweet. I haven't heard from Augustine in a long time. I hope he's okay. What standard? Losing standard? That's UTEP standard. That's coming in from Augustine. Also, Taylor Calloway. Looking at the schedule, I think UTEP could go 0-6 till they get their first win. That would make them losing to Colorado State, losing to Sam Houston, a loss at Western Kentucky, a loss against Florida International, a loss at Western Kentucky, and then finally beating Florida International. Zay, if you had a pin when UTEP's first win comes, what is it for you?
I mean, it might not be into that Florida International game. I definitely could see that.
But FIU's better now.
Are they? I mean, we said that last year, and then they just kind of...
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's a long travel. Yeah. Travel alone, I was thinking, is going to hurt them in this matchup.
Conference USA is like, you're going to throw away the non-conference results. Like, I don't feel like these non-conference results will matter when we're in week 9, week 10, because these teams are going to be so much different. And whether it's for the good or for the bad, right? Hopefully for UTEP, you're saying throw away the non-conference slate because we got so much better, right?
Yeah. I like it. Florida International, by the way, 52-10 win against Central Michigan. That's their quality, quote-unquote, win, but they're 1-2 on the season. So there you go. They lost today big to FAU, Florida Atlantic, 28-10 from earlier. So there you go for Florida International. I think travel alone will make that Florida International game tough. Alberto, what's your first win for UTEP, if you had to guess?
The Kennesaw State one, and even then, that one's going to be close. You already saw what happened against an FCS team. I think it's just when the FCS teams come in here, I think they, at the end of the day, I think they just want it more than the Miners, and that's what plays in their favor.
Okay, I think they beat FIU. I'll agree with Zay. I think the 16th, you know, that third, October 3rd is going to be interesting against Sam Houston. I think that one is going to infuriate fans because fans will expect them to play pretty well in that game and win in that game. And I don't know if they will be able to, but I think Sam Houston's a much better team than people realize. That might be the reality check game. When you lose at home, it resonates worse with UTEP fans than when you lose on the road. And that's just facts.
And I think I'll go against it. I think Sam Houston they're setting the waves, at least in my little Twitter group. I'm seeing it. These UTEP fans are realizing, hey, Sam Houston State is actually good. Like, they don't even want to like trash talk these Burners no more. Like they're the white flag is up. Like, leave us alone. All right, we get it. We get it. I don't know about like regular. I'm not gonna say regular UTEP fans, but UTEP fans not on Twitter. Maybe they haven't realized how good Sam Houston State is, and maybe that game will be a reality check. But you know, at least for me, I'm expecting a reasonable loss, like maybe by double digits.
Okay. I did this on offense. Let's do this on defense, and then we're going to start winding things down. You tell me any quick thoughts on these players on defense that we haven't really touched on from before. Let's start with Oscar Moore, Zay. Thoughts, Oscar Moore?
It's a little disappointing. We definitely saw that couple missed tackles, it felt like, and just want to see him make more plays, be more of a playmaker.
AJ Odoms.
I think he's played well. You know,
if you don't see him on the field, that's a good thing, right?
If we're not talking about AJ Odoms, then it's probably a good thing.
Okay, Brighton Thompson and Sione Tangaua.
I mean, I think Brighton Thompson has had a decent season. I think Tangaua as well. You can't really judge those guys. I can't really judge those guys because I'm not paying attention to them. I'm not seeing what kind of differences they're making, you know, in the trenches. And at the end of the day, I'll just say I'm 50-50 because I have no clue.
I'm disappointed on the D-line, but I like Thompson's performance from tonight. So that maybe those two things can be true. Maybe the D-line can step up. I just hate 3-3-5, and maybe they figure out how to have more run stoppers like they did tonight. And, you know, let's see what happens against Colorado State come next week. A couple other things to mention here on the program. By the way, our telephone number as we wind it down, 915-505-6009. A couple of stats to look at, which I always love to look at these. Third down conversions, the Miners came into this one of the worst teams on third down conversion defense, and they stepped up in the end. By the end of this one, Liberty was 5 of 13 on third down, albeit 5 being too much for UTEP. They couldn't allow any of these really to happen. But, you know, UTEP's defense got off the field on third downs tonight for the most part, and I think that's admirable. On the flip side, 3 of 14 on their side, Alberto, they've got to convert third downs.
Yeah, that 21% on third downs is just not going to get you anywhere. So I think that's definitely something they have to improve. And I think that it doesn't help when they also get themselves in third and long. You know, third and long. I think their average was 3rd and 7. I saw it earlier. Their average was 3rd and 7. That really makes it difficult, especially when, like we've said, you haven't established the run.
Yeah, that's a good point. UTEP had 3 turnovers. Liberty only scored 1 touchdown off those 3 turnovers. So that's interesting. Zay, what do you think about 2 penalties for 25 yards for UTEP?
That's probably the biggest takeaway the biggest positive takeaway I'm bringing from this game is the penalties are a little cleared up. It looks a lot cleaner. And maybe the Southern Utah game was the product of the refs. Maybe it wasn't all that bad. It was definitely not pretty. It was definitely, ugly at times. But, hopefully they can keep the penalties low.
Okay, let me ask you this one right here. This is weird. If you, I had to ask you, Zay, did UTEP have over or under 70 plays in this game? Where would you go?
Oh.
Plays on offense.
Yeah, I'll say over.
73 plays on offense, almost or 11 more plays than Liberty ran. 62 plays for Liberty.
I mean, their drives were longer. UTEP's drives were longer. You talked about, there was a point in this game, deep in this game, UTEP was out gaining Liberty. Their drives were more sustained. They were longer. They just weren't finishing. They were not, completing the mission. They weren't getting into the end zone or getting points, and that's the biggest issue.
But maybe here's the big one, big takeaway, Alberto. 7 tackle for losses for Liberty right there. So when UTEP would take a step forward, they would take 2 steps back on offense.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is just a product of your old line, right? And the stat that came out, jumped out to me, is a 4th quarter only total yards for Liberty when this game was close, 150 yards in the 4th quarter.
Oof, man.
Yeah,
wow.
That's rough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where it was won. I mean, 4th quarter, it was where it was won. It's where Liberty won last week's game against New Mexico State. So some might look at it, hey, they're playing all these close games. Others might say they're winning all these games, which is, another way to look at it. Time to turn the page. It's Colorado State next week. And, this Rams squad right now, unimpressive. 1-2. They haven't shown much. Can UTEP shock a Colorado State team? I wouldn't necessarily call it a shocker. They defeated Northern Colorado 38-17 at home 2 weeks ago. Tonight they got blown out against a bad Colorado team 28-9. And then week 1, 52-0 blowout against Texas. So what do we make of this Rams team, Zay?
Yeah, they have talent. Torrey Horton, Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, that's, their quarterback receiver duo that you're going to have to contain. But, winner goes to the Pac-12. Winner goes to the Pac-12. Let's just do that already.
I like it. I like that. Speaking of, I guess now you open up the can of worms. Looks like the Mountain West, guys, unfortunately, is going to dissolve. I mean, it looks like what a lot of people are thinking right now is that the Mountain West teams could be poached and approached by the Pac-12. And it looks like the 8 remaining schools where UTEP fans were hoping maybe they'd get a late invite. Maybe they'd get invited to the Mountain West. Maybe only 4 of those 8 remaining teams would be brought up to the Pac-12, leaving the Mountain West in this position to scramble to try to get more teams on their side. But Sacramento State, that was the big trendy school last night. The city of Sacramento would back it. They would spend a lot of money to try to join the Pac-12. And then the Mountain West said, no, 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 no. We have great institutions here. We have institutions who are financially committed to winning and to their own programs. Why not just do it with our programs right here? We have a TV deal that's wrapping up soon. So your thoughts, Zay?
I'll go. I'm on the opposite spectrum. I'm saying the Mountain West is they're going to pull a Conference USA. They're going to survive this round of realignment, and whether that means UTEP joins the conference or not, I have trust that we're going to see the Mountain West for at least the next 10 years.
So are you going to see the Mountain West as UTEP versus Montana, or are you going to see the Mountain West as UTEP versus Wyoming? I mean, Alberto, that's the uncertainty that we're hitting right. I mean, it feels like we need notifications from people like Matt Brown and, you know, people who do this for a living on the college football side of things, Chris Vanini, Pete Thamel, for just expansion and realignment stuff alone.
Yeah, it's forever changing and it's constantly changing. But no, I think that it's a really weird situation. I think that if certain schools leave, then it doesn't really make sense for UTEP to try to make that transition into the Mountain West. If the Mountain West is not there anymore, it's just a skeleton of what it once was, and now it's full of FCS teams. Because it would be disappointing for UTEP to go to the Mountain West that's now full of FCS teams, only to be a bottom feeder there as well. That's really one of the options, and that's not what the UTEP Miners want, in my opinion. And I've said this to a couple people already, is I don't really know what's going to happen. I just hope that UTEP brass and New Mexico State brass are smart enough to get in a room together and say, whatever happens, wherever we go together, because we are two institutions that we'd like to think we're going to go everywhere together. That way, wherever you go, fans can have that little spotlight of, well, at least we have NMSU still with us, right? So that's what I hope. I hope that if the Mountain West remains as it is now, make your best attempt to get into the Mountain West, because your chances now. And if it breaks up, fills up with FCS teams, stay here in Conference USA and see what becomes of that.
Your thoughts, Zay?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so too. I hope they stick together. But, you know, maybe we end up with the situation that we saw a couple years back. I mean, Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee, they were together. They're like, hey, we're a package deal. And then the MAC was like, okay, we'll take both of you. West Kentucky was 100% down. I mean, they were gone.
They were gone.
We were seeing Conference USA in their final hour, final minute. And Middle Tennessee out of nowhere decided,
we're going to stay.
And now look at West Kentucky. They're stuck in Conference USA. Who would want to be stuck in Conference USA?
Oh, man. Not me. Not me. That's for sure. 915-505-6009. I'm sorry, Augustine. I saw your call ringing in. We didn't get to you, but it's okay. We'll get you here in a little bit. And if we don't, we'll get you next time. 915-505-6009 is our telephone number. Colorado State next week. We opened up the can of worms for Mountain West. We kind of buried that one right there. Either way, I would love it. Would love for UTEP to go into a positive edition of Mountain West, not a decimated Mountain West. I mean, if San Jose and Wyoming are the only two left, in that conference, no way. I mean, I'm just thinking, well, then again, I don't know if you're bringing North Dakota State in, if you're really using this as a catapult for transition. Also, if you're using this to make more geographic sense, maybe I'll be for it. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, I mean, I'd rather watch UTEP and Montana State than UTEP and Delaware. That's just me.
Very true. I'm 100% behind that right there. 100%. Guys, we're winding it down. Colorado State's next week. Scotty Walden will meet the media Monday. Your thoughts, your final thoughts here as we wind it up. It looks like Augustine might hit us at the buzzer, which is great. But Zay, while we wind it up, your final thoughts here going into next week. Where do you want to see this UTEP team going into Fort Collins?
Alive. Come out alive. Come out competing, and give yourself a shot to win. Right. Give yourself a chance to win on the road against a Mountain West school that, you know, albeit they're 1-2, they're still a pretty good team. They're still going to be favored by at least double digits. So, you know, the breakthrough is supposedly coming, and I'm going to wait for it. I'm going to have trust that it's coming. I'm going to wait for it.
Next up, Augustine, and then we'll get Alberto's final thoughts here, and we'll wrap it up. Augustine at the buzzer. It's been too long. I feel like you just called us tonight because UTEP Mineiro asked you to, but regardless,
no,
we appreciate you.
No. You know, unfortunately, I always forget the new number. I've been so accustomed to the old number.
Save it in your phone. You have a smartphone? Save it in your phone.
Yeah, that's what I was supposed to do, but I always forget to do that. So I always remember the 880 number. So I'm sorry. But I just got one question for everybody, and I'll listen to you on the app because that's where I'm listening to you guys.
Nice.
Year in, year out, we always question coaching. We question the kids. We question everything about UTEP. And I think all this time we've been putting the blame where it doesn't belong. Scotty Walden probably isn't an FBS coach, bringing FCS talent to the table. Are we supposed to go more against UTEP brass now? Because telling them, hey, make the right hires, do the right thing for the school, because you're not bringing in the right talent to coach this team. And UTEP is the moneymaker, so if they're going to still do the bad choices with the bad people, with that's just going to put UTEP in the FCS category as the biggest FCS school around. That's what everybody thinks of UTEP. No longer an FBS school. It loses to FCS schools all the time. So where is UTEP, and what is UTEP brass doing about it? And don't blame Scotty Walden. Don't blame the players. The blame has to now go to UTEP brass and tell them, what are you doing? You're doing Cheetos.
Okay. I got you, man. I would say that when you're talking about, you know, the difference between, you know, the brass of UTEP, like you mentioned, the administration, Jim Center, all those people, and the coaching staff, is that the coaching staff lives it daily. It's not the it's not Jim Center going around saying that they're going to be playing fearless, fast, and physical. So when you have the overhype and the excitement on the season, that's the tax you just have to pay when you have fans coming back at you and saying, well, you said this, and this hasn't happened yet. It's a tax you have to pay with going this hype. So as far as the blame goes and why fans feel a certain way about Walden, I'm not necessarily blaming them. I don't blame them for feeling frustrated at points because of all the hype that was sold to the fan base.
Yeah, but that hype has to be in accordance with something. So Scotty Walden had to, you know, at least tell the AD what his plan
was. That's true.
His plan was.
That's true.
So I mean, I still blame UTEP brass. I still blame the decision making that's been way off. I mean, it's been great in other sports. Volleyball is amazing now, and we
very
got
true.
We got some really good up-and-coming programs, but we need UTEP football to start winning. We need another great coach to use their credit card the wrong way so they can come and probably get some winning seasons out of UTEP.
Oh, Augustine. You know what? I would say you had like a 7 out of 10 phone call right there, my friend. It's good to hear from you. We should have you on more on this show.
But is that the only way to get good coaching down here?
I don't know.
For them to use their credit card in weird ways, and then all of a sudden they can't get a job, and UTEP is their next step, is the stepping stone back to, you know, maybe some kind of respectability? And that sucks. That really, really sucks. So UTEP brass needs to do its job, get somebody down here who actually knows what they're doing, in an FBS school, and start from there.
Okay, Augustine. I appreciate the phone call, my friend. That one went from like a 8 out of 10 good points to, 5 out of 10 by the end. But it's all right, Augustine. Good try. Good job. Appreciate your phone call. Thanks for weighing in on the program. No one liked that one right here among us.
That felt like UTEP strives. I mean, it was going good. The phone call was going good the whole way. They were moving the ball.
But they can't finish.
Yeah, they really sold it at the end.
Fumbled the bag there, Augustine. It's all right. You'll get another shot next week, my friend. We'll wind it up here with some Alberto thoughts. You give us your thoughts, Alberto, as you wind it up here on the program.
Look, I'm definitely not going to comment on any UTEP brass, but I'm the kind of guy who likes explanations I don't deserve. So I'll kind of just leave you guys with this. The UNLV Raiders are 3-0 with 122 points for and are only 41 points against. And Yeah, they're currently sitting second in the Mountain West right now.
So the Rebels have Brennan Marion, the offensive coordinator from UNLV, who invented the go-go offense. And this had to be brought up, right, because other people are bringing it up to us, yeah. right? And he was the finalist for the head coaching job at UTEP. People have pointed it out. UNLV is 2-0 against Big 12 teams, 3-0 overall. UTEP is 0-3 to start off the season. And, yeah, people are pointing this one out right there. Zay, your thoughts. You have to comment on this one here.
Oh, man, I can't.
I don't think I can either. I can't comment on this one. I will not.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I took my headphones off as soon as I heard UNLV.
You know what? I will text the coach who invented the go-go offense. So I will say that.
I just, you know, I want to, you know, why? Why did you go with one and not the other? And what requirements were met? And who what was the deciding factor? Because I think that's what's on my mind right now, and I once again I'd like an explanation I don't deserve, right? But no, this team has a lot of work to do. It's got a lot of places to go moving forward. It's got a lot of hard road trips ahead still. We still have to play Tennessee. The Miners have to play Tennessee. The Miners have to go to Colorado. The season's long from over. I know a lot of Miner fans are on to Miner basketball, but it'll be interesting to see where the team ends up and with what roster, right?
Yeah, good point. That's a good point too, man. That's a good point. Guys, I think that pretty much does it for us here tonight. Turn the page. Colorado State next week. UTEP trying to get their first win of the season. I fired off a text I probably shouldn't have done, but, well, you know, I'm excited to hear if I hear anything back, but we'll see what happens. Liberty defeats UTEP tonight, 28-10. We are brought to you here by Jack in the Box. Hey, 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. Visit our website, 600ESPNElPaso.com. Check us out, Twitter, X, YouTube, where we're boosting things on YouTube as well. Check us out on Instagram, where we've got a lot of great content as well, 600ESPN. And we'll be back in action next week, UTEP taking on Colorado State. For Zay Galindo, who is now our 18-year-old and legal man here of the group. For Alberto Urreta, I'm Adrian Broaddus, saying so long. Thanks for listening to Miner Talk, presented by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso.